This is a Hog Sports Network podcast.
And welcome to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. This is the June 12th edition of the podcast. And even though it's summertime and it's about 90 degrees outside, we still got a lot of Arkansas news going on. And we're going to get right to the Hog headlines. And nothing is a bigger headline than the women's track team at the University of Arkansas. They won the national championship last week. That is the second national championship for this team. They won the indoor national championship a couple of months ago, and they backed that up with a outdoor national championship last week. What a great beginning of his head coaching career here at Arkansas for Chris Johnson. Back-to-back national champions. He's kind of set that bar high for his career here. And, you know, if you're going to set the bar, you know what? Why not set it high? And that's what they did. Now, the whole story of this meet was the Arkansas women's mile or the 1,600-meter relay team. They absolutely torched, destroyed, any kind of adjective you want to put on it. They absolutely crushed the collegiate record in this track meet. They ran a 3:17.96. That is 4 seconds faster than the collegiate record. Now, trying to put that into terms that maybe everyday people could understand, that would be like, you know, me running a 100-yard dash against Usain Bolt. That was kind of the difference. It was a no contest, and what a tremendous race they ran to lock down the national championship. And again, Chris Johnson, man, congratulations on that. That's one of my Texas boys right there, coming to Arkansas and doing well. And back-to-back national champions, got the indoor national championship, now the outdoor national championship. And also some members of that team, you'll be seeing them again here in a few weeks at the Olympics, probably, because Olympic trials are going on. Don't be surprised if Arkansas has some people there for that. So track program doing well under Chris Johnson. And, man, just congratulations again on that. Moving on to Arkansas baseball, they had two freshmen on the All-American freshman team. So congratulations there to Gabe Gackle and Colin Fisher for making the freshman All-American team. Also got some more baseball news. This will be a big shocker. Hagen Smith was named the perfect game collegiate baseball pitcher of the year. I know you're all surprised. It's breaking news and a big shocker there that Hagen Smith is the best pitcher in college baseball this year. But it's always nice to get that affirmation, and perfect game did that for him. So big news there. Now Arkansas is continuing to kind of retool its roster a little bit. And if you want to know more about what's going on with the baseball team as well as the track team, you can get more of that information at wholehogsports.com, where we have all of the University of Arkansas sports coverage that you could ever want to read. It's all there in one nice little package at wholehogsports.com. So you'll want to go there. If you consider yourself a Razorback fan, you need to be there. On the basketball front, the men's basketball team has added a ninth player to its roster, and he is not a surprise or a to anyone at Arkansas. Trevon Brazil is coming back. He is back with about four A's there, as going to be part of John Calipari's first year team here at Arkansas, and that'll be a nice pickup for them. He gives them a guy with length that can shoot the three-pointer, and so that gets their roster up to nine players, which is where Coach Calipari said he wanted to be. And so he is at that, I guess, what he considers to be the max roster. And good for Trevon Brazil to come back. And I think probably in his mind, he's got some unfinished business here. So you'll mesh his talents in with what Coach Cal has brought in. And we'll see what kind of fit that is. But Trevon Brazil is coming back to the University of Arkansas men's basketball team. So that's what's going on with men's basketball. Got a little bit of football news. The 2024 schedule and TV times continue to be released. We found out this week that the Arkansas-Texas game, that won't be played until November, mid-November, but they've already set the time for that game. Is going to be 11 a.m., so you can go ahead and take your little pencil and mark that one down. So for Texas, for that game, you're going to want to start tailgating on Friday night, so that you're really good and lubricated for that game and be ready to go, so that we can get going with Texas for that 11 a.m. kickoff. If you want to know more about the scheduling and other times of other games, again, WholeHogSports.com has all the latest news regarding the football team and the schedules and things like that. So you'll want to be sure and check that out. Arkansas softball, Coach Courtney Dyfel continues to kind of tweak her roster a little bit. They got some looking at some portal news going on. Now, this is going to be something interesting, and I'm going to have Ethan Westerman is going to be joining me here in the next segment. He's our softball beat writer. But the University of Oklahoma won, its millionth straight national championship, it seems. Last week they swept Texas to win the College World Series for the fourth straight year, but they've got a couple of girls that have entered the transfer portal. It's going to be interesting to see how those players at Oklahoma might impact Arkansas's roster, considering the Gasso connection with DJ Gasso as an assistant coach here at Arkansas, and of course Patty Gasso, the legendary coach at the University of Oklahoma, that is a mom and a son. So we'll see, could one or two of those transferring players from Oklahoma end up in an Arkansas uniform? It'll be interesting to see. But Ethan and I will talk about that in that next segment, and that's where we're going to head next. So we're going to take a break right here, and when we come back, the boy wonder, Ethan Westerman, will be here. We're going to talk a little women's basketball and, of course, women's softball. Stay with us, and we'll be right back with the Whole Hog Sports Podcast.
Stay on top of all Arkansas Razorback sports with a Digital Plus subscription on the Hogs Illustrated app. Get complete Razorbacks coverage in one location. Your subscription gives you 20-plus issues of Hogs Illustrated Magazine, the most unique and compelling coverage anywhere in the state, plus total access to all the content on WholeHogSports.com, including breaking news, commentaries, analysis, features, recruiting, award-winning photos, and premium message boards. Subscriptions start at just $17 per month. Join the Hog Sports Network team at subscribe.waco.com. That's subscribe.wehco.com. Or call 479-684-5509 to get your front row seat to Arkansas Razorback sports. Go Hogs!
And we are rolling along with the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. This is the second segment of the podcast, and I'm joined by Ethan Westerman. Ethan is our women's basketball beat reporter and softball beat reporter for WholeHogSports.com. Also writes for Hogs Illustrated. And, you know, does all kinds of things, comes to the luncheon, does question and answer there. So this is a man of many, many talents. He got a lot of talents, right? So we're going to talk a little women's softball today and women's basketball. The first thing we'll talk about is softball. Ethan, did you get a chance to watch Oklahoma just absolutely annihilate Texas in a sweep to win the College World Series for the fourth straight year?
I didn't. I wasn't glued on the game the whole time, you know. I was kind of going back and forth on that second game. I believe there was NBA Finals at the same time. Okay. So I was flipping back and forth. But I did see in that second game there was a really costly Texas base running mistake. Got thrown out at first for I don't know what she was doing. But
I did see that.
And it led to the next half inning. This is how it always happens. You make a mistake, and the next half inning when the other team's up to bat, they just make you pour the salt in the wounds. And Oklahoma poured it on them there.
Oklahoma got a lot of salt.
Yeah, and let's just say they did what Oklahoma does this time of year. They won it all. And, hey, SEC softball, more than any other sport, is about to get absolutely
it's insane.
intensified. I mean, you're adding the two defending teams that have played the national championship, and Florida, forget, was third place. So, yeah, those two coming to the conference, it's beefed up more than it even was. And reminder, all 13 teams already made the tournament this year, so it already was really good.
They should just they should make the SEC tournament the College World Series.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So I mentioned this in our Hog headlines leading into the podcast today, that three players off this Oklahoma National Championship already announced that they're entering the transfer portal after winning a national championship. Got that ring. Now they're going to go on to other places. It'll be interesting to see, will or could any of these players, and I'm looking at Avery Hodge mainly, come to Arkansas because of the DJ Gasso connection to Oklahoma. Now, Avery Hodge was pretty instrumental to Oklahoma winning a national championship. She played very, very well in the College World Series for Oklahoma. Now, overall in the season, she was a .278 batter, which is, you know, it's not fantastic, but you know, .278's not shabby at all. What do you think?
I mean, if there's one thing that we've learned about Arkansas softball in the portal is they can go after big fish. I mean, they really can. Like, Bree Ellis getting her last year, I mean, she was – I remember during the whole portal cycle, it was kind of like, who's going to land Bree Ellis? And Arkansas out of nowhere just they got her. And I think that Arkansas can attract top players from other programs. It's a matter of you always have to dissect with the portal. Are you recruiting over somebody you already have coming in or somebody that, you know, was good for you this year? So – it's a lot of diagnosis of what do you have coming in, yeah. What's going to be returning. Would this player potentially have to push somebody else playing time out the door? I mean, there's only, you know, 9 spots on the field. And so who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Arkansas go after some of these bigger player, more notable players that are in the portal right now. I think of her. I think of there's a shortstop from Alabama, Kahalen, who she was their best hitter this year. There was... for Ole Miss, an outfielder, J-Lo Lassiter. I mean, I see them going after these type of players. It's just a matter of do you feel confident who you have coming back?
And right. And freshmen coming in.
Yeah, the freshman class that you have coming in, I'm just – this freshman class is really good. I mean, you just look at stuff, the studs that they have coming in. They have great pitching coming in. They have good position players. I mean, you kind of – it's one of those years that I think you will see freshmen for sure – be a big part of the team. So it's a matter of, you know, do you want to just how do you think your roster needs help next year? Courtney Dyfel, if we've learned anything about in the past from how she uses the portal, it really just complements the roster that she has coming in. She identifies, I think, some places where, you know, they could really afford to have, you know, this player step in immediately. Transfers come into Arkansas softball to impact immediately.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time they had a transfer come in who just
they're not coming in here to just watch games.
No, they're if Arkansas softball gets a transfer in the past, it's been we want you to come in and KB Sides be SEC player of the year for us.
Yeah.
You know, Bree Ellis come and lead us in home runs. I mean,
the pitcher, I've gone blank on her name.
Chenice Dels.
Yes.
From Tulsa.
Yeah.
And they're really good at identifying some transfers like her and Morgan Linestock, who came in this year from smaller programs who didn't have eye-popping numbers and turning them into, like, Morgan Linestock had her best year of college softball in the SEC as an Arkansas Razorback when she played at Southern, and she played at Southern Miss previously. Like, they're good at identifying players that can fit into what they're trying to do. So it's going to be exciting. I mean, in my opinion, I think they'll probably add a player or two from the portal. I don't know if it'll be as heavy as it's been in years past, just with who all they have coming in.
Fantastic. Moving on to basketball, Mike Neighbors has added another player to the roster, National Junior College Player of the Year, Kiki Smith, out of Hutchinson, Kansas Community College. Yep. She'll have 3 years of eligibility. She only played one season at Hutch, and it was a 37-0 national championship season. Have you done much scouting on her, and what does she bring to the table for the women's basketball team?
She can shoot. She can really shoot. And Mike Neighbors, if you listen to him at all over the past, you know, since their season ended, kind of starting with that last of the year press conference, he said, we had a lot of shooters, not a lot of makers.
True. Yeah,
found himself a maker. She's proven it. She can really shoot the ball. I think she shot like 44% from three
incredible.
That's she's a high volume shooter too. So if you're shooting that with high volume, I mean, you're legit. You know, there's with all the players that they've added this year, because let's be just say how it is, it's been a overhaul of the roster.
It's a complete roster.
You don't know really what you're getting with a lot of these people. I think she is one of them. Her and Izzy Higginbottom are the two that I look at and I say, I think you know what you're getting. I mean, if you're doing that on the JUCO level, yeah, it's going to be harder in the SEC level. But if you're putting up those type of numbers and you're shooting like that, that'll translate. I mean, I don't know.
The goal is still 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
And the three-point line is still whatever 19 feet or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
And it's – she – I mean, she'll go through learning pains, I mean, growing pains in the SEC. I'm sure everybody does. But I think she was a fantastic get for them. And that's a very direct Nick Bradford result, the new assistant coach who, in case people aren't familiar with him, he started at Fayetteville, went to Kansas, played there. He's been in the coaching ranks since, I think, his European ball career ended. And he's always been on the grassroots level of women's basketball, just kind of behind the scenes. I mean, even while he was a coach at Fayetteville High on the boys' side. And so he has a lot of connections on the women's side, and she played for him. So that's a direct – I mean, I think they were recruiting Kiki – they were recruiting against Texas A&M for Kiki.
Yeah,
And
several big time programs were.
Yeah, and the fact that they got her, I mean, I think it's a direct result of Nick Bradford in that relationship. And actually, since we're on the topic of softball a little bit, random connection with Kiki Smith too. I don't know if anybody watched like the full Women's College World Series, but the best pitcher in America this year was for Stanford.
Yeah,
Najari Kennedy.
Correct.
Stud. Her and Kiki Smith were teammates together on the Topeka High School basketball team.
Okay.
So I found that out a couple days ago. So weird connection there, but I'm not sure if Nick ever coached Najari anybody. Yeah. He definitely coached Kiki, and he has kind of his fingerprint all over, I feel like, this region of girls basketball and those grassroots programs.
Good
so
deal.
Good get for them with Kiki. I think she will, I mean, things can change, but from outside looking in, I see her being an immediate contributor.
Yeah. So. Some scheduling news. You had a little story today at HoHawkSports.com. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is announced who their ACC opponent is in the SEC-ACC Challenge.
Yes.
Yeah, take it away on that.
Boston College. That's who they're going to be playing this year in the ACC-SEC. In case you're not familiar with that challenge, it had its first year last year. I mean, now you got two just mega conferences. SEC is going to have 16 teams. ACC will have 18 with all those additions.
Wow.
And so two of their teams won't play in the challenge, but all SEC teams will be guaranteed to play in it. So Arkansas, usually what if they do it like they did last year, kind of how they determine, they kind of put the team side by side and be like, hey, at least last year was LSU, Virginia Tech, defending national champ, Final Four team. Let's play them together. They'll find the best matchup, slot them for network. So Arkansas, they must have laid out the teams and said, hey, Boston College is kind of your comparable opponent for the year. So we'll see. Arkansas last year was matched up with Florida State and actually went and pulled off pretty big upset down in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
They played well in it. We'll see how they do this year. But that game's going to be at Bud Walton Arena December 5th. So it'll be in town. And that makes now, from all the, you know, reporting that we've done based on Freedom of Information, requests, four major conference non-conference opponents.
Yeah.
They're going to have Oklahoma State in the Daytona Beach Classic. And storyline there, Riley Langerman, who played at Arkansas.
Yeah.
She now plays for Oklahoma State.
State. Yep.
They have her. Now Boston College will be their second one. Texas Tech at home. That'll be a good game. And then they have to go to UCLA.
Okay.
UCLA is they were good last year. They're about to be good again this year. So
also talking about Arkansas women's basketball, they're going to go to Croatia in August.
That was last year.
Oh, was that last year? Oh, I'm sorry.
They went to Croatia last year.
My bad.
They wish they could go again. I saw the pictures and Croatia was beautiful.
Well, let me back up on that then. So they did go to Croatia.
Yeah.
Did that lay any groundwork for all of their international players that they've brought in now?
That is a great question. I'd be curious to hear. Mike Nabors talked to our Christina Long at spring meetings, and she asked him a little bit about the international recruiting, and he said it's very relationship. Like, you think relationships are important recruiting in the U.S., try recruiting somebody whose kid lives across the world. They got to be able to trust you, and so who knows if over there they utilize some of that time to maybe do a little bit of that recruiting, but they've gotten in with, I mean, they have a player from Malta, they have Spain, the Netherlands, Nigeria, I'm missing one. That's Finland.
they already had one or two international players on the roster from last year. One for sure, but I thought two. Is that right?
So one of them from the Netherlands, Phoenix, she enrolled early. She couldn't play. This will be her freshman year. Christina Sanchez, she will be a sophomore. She's from Spain.
Okay.
Yeah, she – those two. And then Vera – Ojunaway, I think I just pronounced her last name correct.
I'm glad you said that.
The forward that they got from Barton Community College. She is originally from Nigeria. And then the other two that they got are from Malta and from Finland. I'm not even going to try and pronounce those names right now because they're harder than the ones I just did. So, anyways, but yeah, they have their fingerprint all over Europe right now. And my neighbor said, we're looking at the NBA and the women's game just historically is just quite a few years behind the men's game. Like, whatever's happening in the men's game, just wait a little bit, and there it goes in the women's. About 8 or 9 years ago, I feel like, is whenever the NBA started really getting just regularly, these international stars. You need to look at it now, and I think that that's their mindset is if the transfer portal recruiting is going to be so hard here, if high school recruiting is hard, and I mean, why not tap into an area where, you know, there might be some just absolute stars in the making, and then, you know.
Yeah, could be. So. Does Luca not have, like, a younger sister or, you know, anything like that?
I'm not sure. Right now, Luca needs to they need to get out of this hole in the finals.
Yeah.
So
well, he's kind of playing hurt too.
Yeah. Well, they if he has a sister, I mean, might as well give her a call. I mean, if she can do anything what that guy does.
I'm just saying it worked for Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller. You know, I'm just saying, you know, Dennis Rodman had two sisters who were great players, and Kim Rodman and Deborah Rodman. So there could be a connection here. I'm just putting that out there.
We'll see, yeah. But On the topic of women's basketball roster stuff, I do want to mention Miriam Dowda is going to South Carolina.
Yes, so, I saw that. And good for her. And good for her.
Yeah, that is I've said it, and I'll keep saying it. I think she is a WNBA pick by the time her career is over. I think she's a first rounder. She is so raw talented. It's just a matter of her, you know, just confidence is huge for her, and so is just being in a system that's going to allow her to just, you know, maybe reach her full potential. And you never know what happens behind the scenes, like why she transferred from Arkansas. I know she had a lot of friends on the team, and whenever there's that much roster shakeup, that can be hard. But I do think South Carolina playing for Dawn Staley, I just can't wait to see what her career holds. I mean, and with her being a local, she's from Bentonville.
Yep.
I think it'll be one of those things that'll be cool for people from this area to see how her career develops. But yeah, Dawn Staley, I called it too. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just toot my horn for hours, but I said after she got the portal, I said South Carolina, because Dawn Staley, after that game this year, asked about Miriam Dowda, the impact she had, because I think she led Arkansas with like 19 points, and Dawn Staley repeated herself three times of really, 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 really good. And she said, I just found myself sitting back and watching her, like how talented she is. So I knew after she, like, remembering that Dawn Staley said that, I'm like, oof. Yeah, I don't think you get the phone call from Dawn Staley and they're like, I'm not interested.
No,
yeah,
I think you
pick up that phone and you
yeah.
you see where the conversation leads.
Oh, the next plane? Yeah, I can be there. So that's two transfers of local players going to the last two national champions.
Yep.
So you got Jersey Wolfenbarger, Fort Smith Northside, was here, went in the portal, now going to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And Miriam Dowda, Bentonville, was here. Now going to South Carolina. So,
and don't forget Marquisha Davis. Springdale went to Ole Miss. No, not a national championship team, but went and made herself an WNBA
number
first
11
round
overall,
pick.
Yeah, number 11 overall pick. So that tells you and gives you an idea that the level of girls basketball talent in this just region right here of Northwest Arkansas, and I'm considering Fort Smith part of the, at least the western part of the northwestern part of it, tells you that the talent level is very good. Obviously, Ethan, we want – me personally, selfishly, wants to see the girls that play in this area, you know, come to Arkansas and excel. But sometimes, you know, you got to find a different place for either a better fit and good for them.
Yeah, sure.
Overall, the most important thing is I want to see our kids excel no matter where that is.
Yeah, I about to say that's right now. I think you can look top to bottom and you're looking at this area and you're saying producing some really good women's basketball players. And shout out to Nick Bradford again. He is one of the people that's been behind the scenes. Helping
what a big hire for my neighbors.
There's so many people, like in women's basketball, I think it may be more than any other sport, that just don't get any sort of recognition ever for the work that they do for growing like grassroots programs and stuff in the area. It's just kind of, you know, it's very humble work in my opinion. Like they're just doing it for a passion to see the game grow. And he's one of them that I think that was a great hire because it's always, I think, a little bit frustrating in that community when you see people who haven't really put in the work to. It's like, what are they doing all of a sudden, like, getting hired for this type of role? And he's one of them that's put in the work.
Yeah, he's earned it.
He's earned it, for sure.
He's earned it.
So.
Well, Ethan, thanks for being on with us. And, man, he always brings it. That's why I call him the Boy Wonder. He always brings it. And if you want to read more about things that Ethan's writing about, football, women's basketball, softball, whatever it is, this guy's got it along with the rest of the staff at WholeHogSports.com. So you'll want to, again, be a subscriber, WholeHogSports.com, if you want to get all of the sports information you can get for Arkansas Razorback sports, men's and women's both, is at WholeHogSports.com. Ethan, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we will have our question of the day segment. We'll be right back.
Get the latest breaking news on all Arkansas Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Our award-winning reporters and photographers go beyond game recaps to bring our subscribers the most trusted Razorbacks news anywhere. With expert analysis, the latest in recruiting, plus unique and compelling stories of your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com.
And welcome back to the third inning of the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. This is segment three. This is a segment that we love. It is where we get contributions from our message board people at WholeHogSports.com. And again, if you are not a subscriber to WholeHogSports.com, you need to be. If you want to play in this game, if you want to be part of this podcast in the question of the day, you got to be a subscriber. So go ahead and click on that, get all that done. Then next week when we put out our question of the day on our message board, you can jump in like these folks do and be part of this. And we have a lot of fun with it. And we have some very, very good subscribers that participate in this. And I always love to get their contribution. So we're going to see what they have today in our little mailbag on the question of the day. Now, my question for this podcast was, what are your expectations this year for the Arkansas football team? 6 wins, 7, 9, 12? What are your predictions? And we got some really good contributions from our message board. And we're going to start with Baked Hog 19741, who says, I want to win all 12. But he says 7 or 8 would be a success. However, I expect to win about 3. Moving on to the Wizard of Hogs and Blake Sutton, my guy over there, my producer. Blake, I've told you this before. I love this guy's handle. Or it might be a lady, I don't know, but the Wizard of Hogs. I love that.
That's a good one.
I love that.
You know, Arkansas has so many with pig and hog and everything. There's so many fun variations you can do with it.
Yeah, there are, man. And I love that this handle. So, man, just keep bringing it. He said, personally, I will deem the season a success if we win 6 or 7 games in the regular season and we demonstrate significant improvement on offense. This will only happen if the offensive line, makes a noticeable step forward, which I believe they will. It should be noted that with just an average SEC offensive line last season, Arkansas wins 3 more games, and the attitude around here is dramatically different. I believe that we will have that average O-line this year, and the offense will move and improve accordingly along with our record. That is a great point. That's several great points right there. What I noticed, Blake, in the spring game and in the spring scrimmages, the offensive line did look a lot better to my eyes.
So they're passing your eyeball test?
They passed the eyeball test. Now, here's the problem, I think, or what could be the sticking point is, I just don't know what kind of depth there is along the lines. Mm-hmm. An injury or two there could be devastating. But looking at the first 5, the center, 2 guards, 2 tackles, from these eyeballs, and granted they're old and not great anymore, but to me, the offensive line did look a lot better. So
it's hard to look worse than last year.
That bar's not high. Yeah,
but yeah, even a little bit better should be a nice improvement.
Absolutely. ParkHog91 says, even though I expect 5 wins, I would consider this season a success for our program if Pitt can win 7 games with our current level of talent. You know what, Blake? I think that's attainable. I think 7 wins is attainable.
I do too. I was looking at the schedule earlier today, and I think they can get 7.
I think 7's attainable. Now, they're probably going to have to win a game, maybe 2, that not a lot of people think they could win, or maybe consider it to be an upset. I would put Oklahoma State maybe in that category, but I think seven wins is reachable if, again, going back, they've got to stay, as injury-free as possible.
Yeah, not a lot of room for error.
No, not a lot of depth there. SD Hog says, I expect 6 to 7 wins. Anything less than 6 will spell trouble, especially if we look bad doing it. It's a tough schedule, but no quarter will be given to the coaching staff, okay? All right. Pavlo Hog, again, another one of those names, Blake, that I love, Pavlo Hog. I think the Hogs will be much improved, but we'll still finish 4-8. We still don't have the level of talent that all the teams on our schedule except MSU, and I'm guessing that is Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think that's one they could steal.
I do, too.
It's on the road, but
yeah,
I think they could win that one.
Pooch Punt, I expect 6 wins this year, replacing Cam will be paramount to reaching that total. The quarterback, RBs, and wide receivers may be better than expected. Also expect the offensive line to work better together. I'm anxious to see additions like the Albany defensive end and the veteran baseball player. I think that guy's like 43 years old, but we'll see what kind of impact, you know, he's going to have. Again, going back to the eyeball test of what I saw in the red-white game and in the spring practices, I think the quarterback room is far better than it was. I'm not sure who that number two guy is going to be. My money is that KJ 2.0, which is KJ Jackson, is going to end up being that number two quarterback. That's just my gut feeling based on what I saw in the red-white game and how many more reps he got in that game. But we'll see. You know, they'll come back. You know, they'll come back here in a couple of weeks and they'll start getting ready here for the season. And you know, we'll go there. Treylon Green's going to be the quarterback for, you know, starter, you know, for sure. But man, that freshman Jackson, KJ Jackson, man, he looks. Blake, we have a saying: he got good curb appeal.
Yeah. Well, and with a guy like Petrino. Yeah. You know, he's a quarterback wizard, so.
Absolutely.
I think they're in good hands.
Got to stay injury free in the receiver room too. You know, they got to, you know, they got to stay injury free as much as possible there. Also having Luke Haas back at tight end, that helps a whole lot. That'll help that passing game a whole lot.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. SW Hogg says anything between 4-8 and 7-5. That's a big gap. Anything between 4-8 and 7-5 is reasonably possible. It's like huge, you know, almost, you know, yeah. Grand Canyon, you know, gap there. But anyway, okay, 7 wins may be a stretch, but hope springs eternal. As an offensive player, how can you not be excited about Petrino's philosophy, ability to identify opposing teams' weaknesses, and generate a lot of offense? Good point. That's a good point. Can the two experienced transfers at quarterback and running back execute at a high level? The offensive line will be better. And quite frankly, I don't see how it's possible to be any worse, but how much better? Enough to provide our playmakers time to make a difference, and at wide receiver, we appear to be average in talent level. I think maybe they're a little bit. I think he's underselling this wide receiver room. I really do. I think people don't really understand what kind of an impact Luke has had on that team last year and how his return is going to be a significant boost he's a tight end, but a significant boost to the – quote-unquote, receiving core.
Yeah.
Going to be big. He says, defense is a bit of a wild card, but I believe we have a good coaching staff there. At times we played very well last season. That's right. But clearly we let go of the rope in some games toward the end of the year. We must stay healthy, which is something that we're talking about here. You know, they have to stay healthy on the defensive line and have our young linebackers gel quickly. In many cases, it will simply come down to whether the players believe in our coaches and the program. Again, these eyeballs and what I saw, red-white game in the spring practices, the players were playing hard. You know, I think there's Petrino has brought juice to the program. And I have seen him do good things with less than what he has to work with going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, he almost came in here and stole one, a couple years ago with Missouri State.
Exactly.
They had a lead, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
so that exactly. Was FCS team.
Absolutely. And we will wrap this up with Harley Hogg. Harley Hogg. Let me see if I can get this. Harley Hoggidson. Is that kind of like a Harley Davidson? Harley Hoggidson? It's a cool handle. It's a cool handle.
He got Hogg in there. He squeezed it in.
I butchered the heck out of it, but it's a good handle. I want to see that on a gas tank of a you know, instead of Harley Davidson, have this Harley Hoggidson. Get people talking. It gets me talking. It gets me tongue tied. I believe we will win 6, and I would consider that successful. Of course, that would be a bowl game, Blake. 6 wins equals bowl game. With early injuries to key starter positions, quarterback, running back, O-line, D-line, our max would be probably 4 wins. If we have no injuries to key positions, we could win 7-8. If we win 8, Sam, with a key nod to Petrino, would win and should win SEC Coach of the Year. I believe Bobby can score 30 points on all but a couple of opponents. 30 points will not be enough, though, for at least half of our SEC opponents and Oklahoma State, which that's a road game. It's an 11 a.m. game. It is tough to play in Stillwater. But, man, if Arkansas could somehow get down there and steal a win at Oklahoma State,
yeah,
that would be huge.
I think an 11 a.m. kickoff really benefits the road team.
I do,
also,
too. I do, too.
The crowd doesn't have all day to get inebriated and loud.
Yeah, a little lubricated. There you go.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our Question of the Day segment. And, again, if you want to be part of the Question of the Day team, you have to be on our team, which is the WholeHogSports.com team, and you'll want to jump on there and be a subscriber to that. And that just opens up the key to the entire Razorback sports kingdom when you are a member and a subscriber to WholeHogSports.com. And that wraps up this week's podcast. Now, Blake, a couple of really sad, sad notes coming out of the other world of sports this week. Joey Chestnut. He didn't die, but he's not going to be part of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest this year. What? Yeah.
Did you see why?
Well, because he's gone like he's eating plant-based hot dogs or something. What in the world is a plant-based hot dog?
Yeah, no, it was some – he was endorsed like Impossible Hot Dog or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's Impossible. Why, I mean, why would you eat it? It'd be possible to hold it down.
I don't know why that got him disqualified. It something to do with some kind of a sponsorship deal or something. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not tuning in this year. I'm going to tell you that right now. If there's no Joey Chestnut, there's no Chip Souza watching that on July 4th.
We could have a hot dog eating contest on the podcast.
We should do that. We should do that. Get some of our message board people in here to do that.
My idea, though, is maybe we each just have one hot dog and just really enjoy it and try not to, you know, eat as many as we can.
I love a good hot dog. Now, Blake, on the scale of like 1 to 8, with 8 being like a blackened dog, what is your hot dog? Are you rare, a well done? What are you?
I like some grill marks on it.
Yep.
But I guess just warm enough for it to start plumping up.
Okay. Because I'm like I'm like Cajun style burnt, you know, burnt dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I want to be coming to any of your cookouts if that's how you're gonna cook the dogs, but hey, to each his own.
Well, I could cook them to order, you know. I can just pass them by the heat, you know, for you or whatever, and then you know, leave mine on there for, you know, like 3 hours where it's really, really really good and toasty.
Yeah.
So again, that will wrap up this week's podcast, and we'll be back with you next week where we'll talk about more things, maybe some more hot dogs. We may shift it over to, I don't know, corn dogs, which are also fantastic. So thanks for being part of this podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Go Hawks!